From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where inevitably, a 3 to 7 beer deep conversation about the paranormal will end up. We are your podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, just taking you to where the beer would eventually, if you're that kind of drinker. If not, we would just like treat us as a simulator to there. Now, today is a Chelsea episode, so I don't have much of a segue from there, but Chelsea can take it from here and segue beautifully, I'm sure.
No time to waste. I'm jumping right in with no segue. A near-death experience, NDE, is a profound personal experience associated with death or impending death. And positive, which the great majority are, such experiences may encompass a variety of sensations, including detachment from the body, feelings of levitation, total serenity, security, warmth, joy, the experience of absolute disillusion, review of major life events, the presence of light, and seeing dead relatives. While there are common elements, people's experiences and their interpretations of these experiences generally reflect their cultural, philosophical, or religious beliefs. NDEs usually occur during reversible clinical death. We would have no way of otherwise knowing on irreversible clinical death.
Yeah. Are they saying that there's in clinics they're putting people in death experiences and bringing them back?
Potentially.
It's kind of what it sounds
like. It's science.
Okay.
Explanations for NDEs vary from scientific to religious. Tons of people out there speculate on what it is. Other things are like the brain releases DMT, so on. This episode isn't about that, so don't even worry about it. Worth noting that some transcendental and religious beliefs about the afterlife include descriptions similar to NDEs. Now, while many NDEers consider their close brushes with death positive, 1-2% report having negative near-death experiences. By this time, you may think that we're talking about NDEs today.
Which I did, yes.
And you would be right.
Okay.
But more specifically, we're going to be talking today about distressful negative NDEs and just what that looks like.
Oh, good.
It's going to be terrifying. I found out there's actually a lot of research out there on it, not as much as regular NDEs. Those people don't like to talk about the negative NDE stuff. And so I had to pare it down actually for this episode, and I'm not going to get that much into the research itself, maybe a little bit. Today, I want to focus on just what can be experienced and some of the NDEs themselves. With that being said, let's talk about some of the scientific research. Most research into NDEs in the 1970s and 1980s focused on pleasant experiences. It wasn't until the 90s that wider attention to distressing NDEs began. The first modern description of a terrifying, hellish NDE comes from Delacour's research in 1974. And they described fiery pits and eyeless figures. It later may have been considered possibly fictional. That's Delacour for you. Then Rawlings, 1978. Yes, these are people, I left out their first name, who described the hellish NDEs that they were looking into as hellish scenes with grotesque beings, violence, and demonic torture. Noted high variability between what they're experiencing with these. Lindley et al., 1981, described extreme fear, panic, anger, and visions of demonic creatures. Gallup and Proctor, 1982, which really sounds like a shampoo company.
Yeah, it does.
Rare reports with emotionless faces, confusion, discomfort, and fear of annihilation. Gray, 1985, explains intense fear, loneliness, mental anguish, and a hell-like experience with evil forces and demonic encounters. Atwater, 1992, describes negative NDE experiencers were experiencing cold, dark, violent settings with lifeless figures, emotional distress, and a fight to survive. These guys all did research into these negative NDE experiences. Obviously, they don't sound good at all to be going
through. Kind of shitty.
Yeah, really kind of shitty. And researchers 8 Melua and Kinunen used interpretive phenomenological analysis to deeply explore the personal meaning and lived experience of 8 individuals who had distressing NDEs with a goal in mind to understand the themes that emerged from their narratives. This is all very scientific. Let's take a look at the key themes identified from their research. So number one is fear, which was present in 7 out of 8 experiences. I don't know what the fuck was wrong with the last guy. That was the most common feeling. Number two was confusion, which appeared in 3 out of 8 cases. People didn't understand what was happening, probably why it was happening as well, as we'll see in a theme that pops up with the experiences. Number three, described in 4 out of 8 cases, was a dark realm, often identified as hell.
To be fair, that's probably cultural, is the problem.
I was going to comment that.
All this is going to be, okay.
I don't know what else. I would probably even consider it that if I was to see something like that.
Yeah, but the thing is that's cultural to us. So, unfortunately, unless we're getting things from other countries, say like Asia and Africa, we're not going to know if it's just be misinterpreting the same thing because of our outlook.
That's a very good point to bring up right now. This is a very American, North America point of view on this. Very. I did not look outside at all. Number four, which in 3 out of 8 cases, they felt a judgment by God. They felt judged as unworthy. The next is self-judgment. Some judged themselves as unworthy in 2 out of 8 cases. Number six is a loss of control. They felt out of control in 5 out of 8 experiences. A minority, 2 out of 8 people, had a sense of control during this.
Huh.
Number eight was a pleading for divine help, which is weird because one person is missing out of there. Maybe there is just no feeling of control either way.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
If I can doing my math correct, this 2 = 7. Yes. Number eight, pleading for divine help, reported in 2 out of 8 experiences. Number nine, being rescued without asking, also occurred in 2 of 8 cases. And that finally, the last one was feeling alone and rejected, mentioned in 2 out of 8 narratives.
Well, see,
so that
I
was
just,
the least common.
I want to confirm that it sounds like pleading for help in those situations actually does pay off, because 2 out of 8 did it, and then 2 out of 8 had divine intervention.
But we'll never know if it's the same 2 out of 8.
I choose to assume.
While aspects of negative death experiences are similar to positive ones, they kind of have similar components, just kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. The negative NDEs relay a highly distressing experience. I think you've gathered that by now.
Mm-hmm.
So they've also quantified the type of negative NDEs that have identified by the researchers doing this research, taking them all together and saying these are the core kind of experiences that people are having. And if you're lucky on some of them, I have examples to go with them. The first is called the inverse NDE. And this takes place when the common pleasant features of near-death experiences are not at all pleasant. For example, seeing a white light, as is common within regular happy NDE, which is often a source of comfort and peace, light beings, floating sensation, etc. However, in the inverse NDE, the white light might appear threatening and bring on panic and depression. Researchers believe these NDEs are due to a person being in shock at what's happening to them. This is the most common distressing NDE type. So let's talk specifics. I have a report by a 27-year-old woman. Quote, suddenly I became aware that something really strange was happening. It was as if I had been pulled up and away from my body, and I found myself watching my doctor and his nurse working on my body from a corner of the room near the ceiling. I felt startled at being able to hover above like that, and I wanted to feel in control of my situation, but I was unable to do anything except watch helplessly. I made some attempts to get the attention of the other two in the room, but they were totally oblivious to anything I was saying to them. Then I found myself no longer in the room, but traveling through a tunnel, slowly at first, then picking up speed as I went. As I entered the tunnel, I began hearing the sound of an engine, the kind that operates heavy machinery. Then, as I was moving slowly, I could hear voices on each side of my head. The voices of people whom I'd known before because they were vaguely familiar. About this time, I became frightened, so I didn't concentrate on trying to recognize any of the voices. I found myself growing more and more afraid as the speed picked up and I realized that I was headed towards the pinpoint of light at the end of a tunnel. The thought came to me that this was probably what it was like to die. I decided then and there that I wanted to go no further and I tried to backpedal, stop and turn around, but to no avail. I could control nothing and the pinpoint of light grew larger and larger. Before I knew it, the light exploded all around me. My attitude at this time was quite terrified. I did not want to be there and I was determined that I was not, by God, going to stay. So that's an inverse NDE.
Interesting.
Yeah. It gets worse from here.
Yeah, I can believe that. That one was actually pretty tame for what you've been describing.
Yeah, I can only imagine that feeling, though. You'd be in a weird place, that's for sure. And feeling those feelings, I can't discount it as being terrifying. It just doesn't seem that bad, because I know what's coming. The second type of distressing NDE, they refer to as void. In this NDE, a person may find themselves in a void of emptiness. The person may feel isolation, loneliness, discomfort, and despair here. In some cases, the person may simply feel neutral feelings instead. Interpreters of this believe it could be a person not going through a deep enough NDE, or it being a precursor to the traditional NDE that follows. Others interpret this void as some state of hell or purgatory. Here is one such account. Quote, I was suddenly surrounded by total blackness, floating in nothing but black space. No up, no down, left or right. What seemed like an eternity went by. I fully lived it in this misery. I was only allowed to think and reflect, end quote. I have another one. A woman in childbirth found herself abruptly flying over the hospital and into deep empty space. A group of circular entities informed her she never existed and that she had been allowed to imagine her life, but it was a joke. She was not real. She argued with facts about her life and descriptions of Earth. No, they said, none of that had ever been real. This is all there was, and she was left alone in space.
Wow.
Yeah, that one was particularly crazy. Another woman in childbirth felt herself floating on water, but at a certain point, it was no longer a peaceful feeling, she said. It had become pure hell. I had become a light out in the heavens, and I was screaming, but no sound was going forth. It was worse than any nightmare. I was spinning around, and I realized that this was eternity. This was what forever was going to be. I felt the aloneness, the emptiness of space, the vastness of the universe, except for me, a mere ball of light screaming. That is terrifying. Another example, a woman who attempted suicide felt herself sucked into a void. Quote, I was being drawn into the dark abyss, a tunnel, a void. I was not aware of my body as I know it. I was terrified. I felt terror. I had expected nothingness. I expected the big sleep. I expected oblivion. I found now that I was going to another plane, and it frightened me. I wanted nothingness, but this force was pulling me somewhere I didn't want to go, but I never got beyond the fog. End quote. Last one for the void. A man who was attacked by a hitchhiker felt himself rise out of his body. Quote, I suddenly was surrounded by total blackness, floating in nothing but black space. No up, no down, no left, no right. What seemed like an eternity went by. I fully lived it in its misery. I was only allowed to think and reflect. Oh, I have another one. Don't you worry. I have another void example. Last one, for real this time. A 26-year-old woman. I passed through different stages of torment. Voices were laughing at me, telling me all of life was a dream, that there was no heaven, no hell, or earth, really, and that all I had experienced in life was actually a hallucination. I passed through the stage of terrible thirst, at the stage, and the voices kept laughing at me and telling me, "You think this is bad? Wait till the next stage." I found myself hurtling towards the final torment. I was to be suspended in a total vacuum with nothing to see or do for eternity. I was naked and I was sad about that because I thought, if only I had clothing, I could pull the threads and knot them and reweave them for something to do. And if only I were sitting in a chair, I could splinter it and try to make something of the splinters. And then the overwhelming realization that eternity was forever and ever. Time without end. What to do in a vacuum forever. After all these years, the nightmare remains vivid in my mind. I assure you, the worst form of hell, in my mind at least, would be myself suspended naked in a vacuum. That's the last one from the void. And I put that one in because isn't it crazy that there's more than one experience of them being told that, like, that wasn't real, what you just experienced?
Yeah, it really lines up with a few descriptions of how the world works with, what's it called? Hologram theory? Is that what that is? Basically, our whole entire universe is made up.
Are you thinking of, damn it, now that I want to put my input, yeah. I've left it too. Like the Matrix,
Yeah, it's hologram theory, something along those lines.
Yeah, damn it. Okay, moving on. That's gonna bother me. Number 3 is hellish. Just like it sounds, hellish NDEs are an experience of the simulation theory. Hellish, just like they sound. Hellish NDEs are an experience of the common perceptions of hell. This is the least common type, but has been shown to occur in quite a few of NDEs cross-culturally. This NDE represents the classical imagery of demons, monsters, taunts, people chained, suffering, darkness, smell, fire, etc. Many of you've experienced this, remember it for years and are still disturbed by it unless they can make some meaning out of it. I feel like all of these would stick with somebody, so for them to point it out on this one that it sticks with them for years probably means a little bit more than that, because I would assume being told that none of this is real would stick with you for a while.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. That, it would be life-changing.
Like, but in a different way than I was tortured for eternity, yeah. And then I was returned to this life.
I mean, but if you never experienced both of them, like, I would assume that one would stay with you kind of equally, because you never experienced the other, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
So, here's a report of a hellish NDE. Quote, when I reached the bottom, it resembled the entrance to a cave with what looked like webs hanging. I heard cries, wails, moans, and the gnashing of teeth. I saw these beings that resembled humans with the shape of a head and body, but they were ugly and grotesque. They were frightening and sounded like they were tormented in agony. End quote. Next one. Oh, I got a lot of these ones for you. A man in heart failure felt himself falling into the depths of the earth. At the bottom was a set of high, rusty gates, which he perceived as the gates of hell. Panic-stricken, he managed to scramble back up to daylight. Yikes, he escaped hell. We didn't want him back.
And while going through a heart attack, nonetheless.
No kidding. Next one. A woman was being escorted through a frighteningly desolate landscape and saw a group of wandering spirits. They looked lost and in pain, but her guide indicated she was not allowed to help them. Next, an atheistic university professor with an intestinal rupture experienced being maliciously pinched, then torn apart by malevolent beings. That would fucking suck.
Huh, they escalated quickly.
Yeah, that one reminds me of Hellraiser.
Yeah.
Next, a woman who hemorrhaged from a ruptured fallopian tube reported an NDE involving, quote, horrific beings with gray gelatinous appendages grasping and clawing at me. The sounds of their guttural moaning and the indescribable stench still remain 41 years later. There was no benign being of light, no life video, nothing beautiful or present, end quote. Oh, review of life is what she means. That's pretty crazy that there's a stench.
Yeah. Well, and it's generally, I have heard about that stench, and it's the smell of rotten eggs, is it?
Yeah, not? Like sulfur, right?
That's sulfur. Yeah. Which is also the smell associated with UFOs sometimes.
Yes.
Which is weird.
And it does come up again in this episode.
Okay.
Next, a 26-year-old woman. Instantly, I started plummeting downward, falling into darkness, a horrible, endless black space. Imagine standing in an elevator and all of a sudden the floor drops out and down you go.
that terrible sensation of falling. I was terrified in the darkness that surrounded me, but very aware of the horrible pain burning and searing my entire body. Agonizing pain beyond description that would never leave. There were the tortured screams of others, but I could see nothing but darkness. There was no fire, just this dreadful burning pain all over every part of me, and I knew that this was hell. I felt hopeless, knowing this was for eternity. There was no escape from the nightmare. I wouldn't wake up. I wouldn't hit bottom and die. I wouldn't be rescued by anyone. I would fall and burn in this gruesome place forever and ever, screaming out with all the other lost souls crying out in the darkness, totally helpless as we fell further into the pit of hell. Not even God entered into this place, and the torture would go on forever and ever and ever. There's no way to describe the terror that filled me, realizing that I actually sent myself to hell through my choice of not believing. I had chosen this. I had chosen not to believe in God. I felt a separation, as if I had never existed. There is no lonelier place than separation from God. I saw no flames, just total darkness and the sensation of burning. I heard many people screaming, but I saw no one. It was a dark, desolate, horrible place with no hope of escape. I felt the hopelessness of being lost in torment, separated from God for eternity. So that is the hellish one, I believe.
Would be very curious, just with that atheistic individual's background.
Yeah.
Whether or not they came from a religious upbringing.
Yeah.
Just like, if that's where that deceit, that pain of not believing in God came from, or if it is something that just spurred itself at the end of her life.
Yeah, we get into it a little bit. Obviously, there's a lot of religious connotations that come up in reference.
When it comes to hell and heaven, yes.
Yeah, not just like one of these is called hell and people consider it hell because they're obviously getting it from somewhere, but that religion is pretty much what is there after this life, right?
Yeah.
People do things in this life for what happens in the next realm. They want to know that there's something beyond this life. So I think it's really tied to religion for that reason as well. I did have to sort through because so many of these are filtered through, even this last one, are filtered through a religious connotation. And a lot of people do go religious after this stuff. And a lot of religions use stuff like this to say, look, you gotta be good. You gotta believe in God.
Yeah.
And it does appear on
blogs. They sure do.
Even on Reddit, when I was searching, most of what I was finding were on Christian, Catholic, different religious Reddits, which I did stay away from, but that was the majority of where I found anything on Reddit. So lots of religious people talking about stuff like this. I think it just goes hand in hand. I think it proves people's point one way or the other.
Yeah.
So Elwood, whoever the hell that is, suggested in 1996 that subdividing the hellish experiences into even more categories would serve us better. So he or she proposed, could be a moth person, who knows at this point. A, those that are entity-centered, including malevolent beings, which Elwood thought were analogous to figures sometimes encountered in schizophrenia and nightmares, but no fire. And the other is those that are fire-centered, including hellfire, but no powerful or malevolent beings, which Elwood thought were analogous to the experiences of saints and mystics. She also speculated that with further research, there may be a third subcategory of hellish NDE, characterized by neither malevolent beings nor hellfire, but rather a spinning vortex, which we didn't even hear from. And we also found out that Elwood is a moth she.
I would like to hear the spinning vortex's point of view.
Too bad.
Damn it.
Didn't make it in. So now we move on to a next classification of negative NDE, which is a negative life review. And this can begin with a pleasant or neutral experience and culminate in a life review in which they perceive a lot of negative events, which they find very disturbing and painful. These are probably bad people reviewing their life. They may even need to switch it off. Can you do that with a life review?
Apparently.
I've had enough too much of this. Click. Yeah. What else is on? This differs from other NDEers who may have a life review and feel remorse at their deeds, but are comforted with compassion for them. It would seem to differ from person to person. It is worthy to ponder the nature of why some have more painful life reviews, which is less comforting. Some interpret that this could be to do with weighty negative karma or deeds. No examples of that one, so you'll just have to trust me.
Okay.
Number 5, a hybrid NDE. And these are NDEs which a person may feel both positive and negative aspects. They may meet a being and feel comfort with them, but also witness distressing events like seeing hellish realms. I'm trying to make a point here, so I'm not even sharing these with you. They are not negative enough. There's a positive aspect to them. Number 6, which I believe is the last one, is instructional. And in this category, experiencers are led by a spirit guide to a realm where they can witness deceased beings suffering extreme agony in a hellish type of existence. But the experiencers themselves are not subjected to the agony of the witnessed beings. An example of an instructional NDE was reported by a 27-year-old woman. I think they're all 27-year-old women for some reason.
Weird.
I know.
Is this something that's just specific to that kind of cohort?
Maybe. They only took 27-year-old women witness testimonies, I guess.
Huh.
I looked down upon the accident scene. I looked into my car and saw myself trapped and unconscious. A hand touched mine, and I turned to see where this peace and serenity was coming from, and there was Jesus Christ. I mean, the way he is made out to be in all of the paintings, I was so not actually looking like he was in real life.
Yeah, the white guy.
The white guy. White Jesus, to be clear. I was led around a well because I wanted to stay with him and hold his hand. He led me from a side of bliss to a side of misery. I did not want to look, but he made me look, and I was disgusted and horrified and scared. It was so ugly. The people were blackened and sweaty and moaning in pain and chained to their spots, and I had to walk through the area back to the well. One was even chained to the evil side of the well. The man was so skeptical and in such pain. The one chained to the evil side of the well, I wanted to help save him, but no one would. And I knew that I would be one of those creatures if I stayed. I hated it there. I couldn't wait to get to the well and go around it. He led me to it, but he made me go through it alone as he watched. Someone else followed me through and then stepped in front of me to help me walk over the debris on the ground. Snakes or something. I never looked at this thing, but I know it was dark. So those are all the experiences. And I want to let you know, all of the experiences that I just went here of NDEs is all from the research that I went through. None of them are Reddit stories. They're all a part of the research. I took them from different places, but they all came from papers and stuff like that. For those, we'll get to the Reddit.
Now, White Jesus seems like kind of a dick, to be fair. I just kind of got to say that.
I was always under the impression that White Jesus always was. Is it just me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's, yeah.
Yeah. Responses vary in regards to the negative NDE that experiencers have had, from completely turning their life around as a sort of get your act together response, to explaining the experience away, to experiencing PTSD type symptoms, all over the board. For others, it's cause for a deep reflection on their life and reflecting on if they're a bad person. Quote, the changes in personal beliefs can be sudden and disorienting, and feelings of anger, depression, or estrangement from family and friends have been reported. I can only imagine if you had an NDE in which it said none of this is real, I would think that you would feel a certain amount of dissociation once you are alive again, if you come back from that. I don't know why that one really stays with me, but I just feel like psychologically, I feel like that would be very damaging. But that's just me. There's a lot of other disturbing stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
A lot of
Well, to be fair, weirdly, stuff. I have also, like, I was listening to somebody talking about a near-death experience they went through, and they said it's actually really hard to cope with the fact that you are alive and that you should, like, your brain has processed that you are dead.
Yeah.
So actually, like, getting past that point is really hard.
Yeah, I could only imagine that.
Yeah.
Whatever you experienced after that alone. Overwhelmingly, their questions include some variant of, quote, what did I do to deserve this? Or what are the rules if the rules I live by don't work? End quote. I think that could be referring to a few things, such as thinking they ended up in hell, or the rule of, you know, just living your life. Apparently that doesn't work because apparently you weren't, in some cases, living any life. There's a lot more research to not only the outcomes, but negative NDEs itself. Obviously, I couldn't put it all into the episode. A lot of it deeply religious, like I said, but I wanted to focus obviously more on the experiences because that's where the money is. All the money.
All the 20 bucks you get.
Bad NDEs are not exclusive to bad people. They happen to both, but honestly, I'm not sure how they measure that. And I'm also not sure how they... We didn't hear whether or not any of these experiencers were bad people or not. I don't know. I don't know how you would say someone it would be intrinsically good or bad.
Can I just add at that point, too? Yeah, we don't know if it matters whether or not they are intrinsically bad from like a universal perspective, or if they perceive themselves
exactly.
to be bad.
Exactly.
Which I don't think is something that has been talked about too much here.
No, that's a very good point. From the book Distressing Near-Death Experiences, The Basics, quote, no evidence supports the conventional assumption that good people get pleasant NDEs and bad people have distressing ones. Saints have reported extremely disturbing NDEs, while felons and suicide attempters have encountered bliss. I don't like that they put suicide attempter under bad.
Technically, within the church, they're bad.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Not that I like
Which again, we're looking at it from a religious perspective. Although we don't think we are, it's the West which is Christian.
Yeah. So now we're going to move on to more NDE experiences. Yay. I hope that you have a plan for something light after this and funny. Hopefully the laughter will help get you through this. A man thrown from his horse found himself floating at treetop height, watching emergency medical technicians work over his body. Quote, no, this isn't right, he screamed. Put me back. But they did not hear him. Next, he was shooting through darkness toward a bright light, flashing past shadowy people who seemed to be deceased family members waiting. He was panic-stricken by the bizarre scenario and his inability to affect what was happening. Next story. Veronica Barthel says that after being struck by lightning while driving her car one day in 1981, she was instantly transported into hell, where she found demons escorting her into a big waiting room. Quote, the creatures that I saw were more terrifying than anything I ever saw in a horror movie. Today I know that they were demons. As soldiers, they were marching past me, and in the middle of them were people that were screaming with pain. It was very difficult to breathe down there because of the terrible smell of this place. I saw a lake which looked like the inner part of a volcano where people were cursing because of great pain, end quote. She says that she saw people being thrown into caves which were guarded by demons, who threw spears at them as they screamed. She also recalled snakes being present all over the ground, which were there to frighten and intimidate the people in hell. After her experience, Veronica found herself transported back into her car, where for a moment she saw her own burning hands gripping the steering wheel. Well, that was something we did not need, Veronica. Next sighting. Here, now we're at the Reddit stories.
Okay. And I should say, thankfully, everybody whose stories we heard, they have survived.
Yeah.
We know this.
Yeah, that's actually a really good part of this episode, to be honest with you. I'm really glad you brought that to our attention. User Saint Chas 77. I remember a story from years ago about a guy who was on the brink of death and saw shadow creatures attack him, trying to tear him into pieces. Not in a lake of fire, though. He was an atheist, and the experience made him a theist, not a born-again Christian. Next, user Zushiba. My aunt died in the hospital several years ago. She was clinically dead for a few minutes. In that time, she says she floated above the operating table and saw them trying to revive her. She says she felt a pull on her and flew out through the very top of the room. She remembered very clearly floating above the light fixture on the ceiling and then there being darkness. Suddenly, she found herself floating above the ground several inches just above a field of dirt. In front of her was a very strange, large chasm. Deep, very dark, she couldn't see the bottom of it from where she was. On the other side of the chasm was a beautiful field. Green grass, flowers, trees, and sunlight. On her side of the chasm, it was overcast and very little light. No vegetation, just brown dirt. She felt the same force that pulled her out through the ceiling of the hospital start pulling her across the chasm. As she started floating over the chasm, these hands reached out of the blackness and started pulling at her, almost like ripping the flesh from her legs and feet. She says it was the worst feeling of pain and cold she ever experienced, and it horrified her. After what seemed like forever, she reached the other side of the chasm and the hands went away. The feeling of pain and terror was replaced with the feeling of happiness and contentment and warmth. Several family members that had been dead for some time were there and they seemed to be beckoning her over. She was lowing to the field when she heard the doctor say something. It sounded like it echoed very loudly from the other side of the chasm. Suddenly, the force pulled her across the chasm again, only this time much faster than she had been pulled over the first time. Again, the hand came and again the cold. The hands ripped at her and she felt the pain she had felt before. Finally, she came to the dirt side of the chasm again, then blackness. Then she was on the ceiling of her room in the hospital again, and she saw her body spasm violently and her arm smacked the doctor's arm, breaking his watch. Her spirit was pulled back into her body again, and she heard him say something like, "She's back," and then blackness again. Several hours later, she woke up and was pissed off at first. Then she realized she was alive and she thanked the doctor and apologized for breaking his watch. He was surprised because when she did that, she was technically dead. I don't know what she saw, but she was very descriptive of what she thinks she saw. That was a little weird. And I don't feel like she was dead when that happened because she was moving around.
If she can move, yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, you're going to like this one because I like the guy's name. User, the Fecal Jesus.
Oh, good.
It's got to be good.
I wonder what he has to say about this.
I've had a few friends who have been in crazy accidents and have slipped into comas as a result. So it's not really an NDE here, but here we go. One said it was the most peaceful experience ever. They had something similar to the white light phenomenon where they were floating above their body, seeing a bright light, etc. Almost the same stereotypical experience. The other had a completely different experience that shook me a little. He said he saw demons and creatures, all sorts of crazy shit. He even said he felt pain and sorrow. He said it was the most horrific thing he's ever experienced. Both of my friends aren't religious. We're both in comas and on heavy meds, not sure of what exactly. I personally think a lot of it has to do with the meds and how they affect different people. I taint no doctor, but that's my diagnosis.
He taint no doctor. He's got a point.
User, letter Petey, 43. A few years before my dad passed away, he was stabbed 3 times by muggers and died 3 times on the operating table. Up until the day that he offed himself, he maintained that when he briefly lost life, he was crawling through a wall to hell and was able to glance in and see hell. User, Atlantern. I have hospice patients that say angels come and visit them. One lady said, "There's a little boy sitting at the foot of my bed, saying I'm gonna go soon." I have seen many people at the end of their journey talking to dead relatives that have passed. I have been in the room of one elderly man who was terrified by what he saw, pain and fire, what he perceived as hell. He led a tumultuous life with no closure. He hadn't spoken to his family in years. I don't know if what he saw was real or just real to him because of all the turmoil and unfinished business in his life. That's kind of sad. This one, it has to be one of my favorite ones. It's so creepy. User Charles DeBally's. At the hospice, my grandma died, and the nurses told a story about some patients who just before they died, like literally minutes before, complained about 3 scary bald men in suits in the corner of the room. Not really a lake of fire, but still interesting. And someone commented on it, user Seychelles Lalu, said, "Very interesting. I used to have waking nightmares when I was younger, and it was always 3 figures in a corner waiting for me."
Yes.
Creepy!
I think we can all agree we don't want bureaucracy to spill over to the afterlife.
I sure don't. We want it to be chaotic.
We want it to be pointy, painful, but not yeah, bureaucratic.
Exactly. That makes it worse. A few more. User not sure guy. My grandfather had a near-death experience where he says he saw St. Peter. So St. Peter asked, where to? And my grandfather replied, to heaven. St. Peter flips a lever and my grandfather said he just felt piercing cold and darkness. He was a bad person in many ways. He left my grandma and mom when she was 10. I didn't know him well at all, but that was his story. User Flegel 66. The stepdad of an old ex-girlfriend had an experience he swears by. It was one that supposedly made him change his ways and turn to being a devout Christian. He was a raging alcoholic, abusive and destructive, got into a serious car accident and was on the operating table. Surgeons said that his heart actually stopped for a few minutes. He claims that he saw himself lying on the table with the doctors working on him. Then, instead of seeing a light, he saw total blackness, could smell something burning sulfur, and heard people screaming. The doctors told him that at one point he screamed on the operating table. There could be lots of other more reasonable explanations for this, the most obvious being that he was completely full of shit. But it's a story nonetheless I was told, so given the subject matter, I felt I should share. User CC Van. Yes, I've experienced this as well. It was completely black, though I wasn't alone. But it was a distressing experience and not at all like the beautiful serenity light everyone experiences. It sucks because the distressing NDEs happen often but are less talked about, but they're out there. User Fiasco 21. I had a clinical death, did not see any light or fire. I saw, and I am not shitting you, big Crayolas falling down from the sky. That was my last memory until 2 months later when I was in therapy because it left me half paralyzed for months. I liked the Crayolas of that, but it took a turn at the end and became worse.
That has to be the tamest of the things it that is. We've dealt with
it is.
So
it
far.
It really is. And I'm going to leave you off with a gooder. For the last NDE experience, and this is user deleted, unfortunately, but I cannot give credit to which user on this one. My dad has died twice due to heart attacks. He says he saw New Jersey. He was not in New Jersey.
Oh no.
I know. Oh, no. The worst of all.
He did go to hell.
And it wasn't Minnesota, right? It was Minnesota. Go to hell. Michigan.
No, Minnesota's Michigan. Cold.
Michigan is also cold. But go to hell, okay. Michigan. And that's my episode. You need to watch a comedy now.
Well, I...
We need to watch
Beckett. Yeah, go enjoy life. Just accept everything. Yes, go accept what David Wilcock has become. It's quite delightful in such a weird way. Do not give
Do
him
not,
money.
Unless you're plugging Journey to the Fringe. And give him money so that he plugs up.
And in any event, I have been Taylor here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.